Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Kuf Yud Zayin in Masech Shabbos. We stopped a little bit early on Kuf Tez Zayin Beis. We're on the first wide line and a new Mishnah. The Mishnahis and Perikol Kisvei are discussing the halachos of saving things from a fire on Shabbos. And the Mishnah begins on the first wide line. Matzilin Tikka Sefer Ima Sefer, one is allowed to save the pouch of a sefer with the sefer as well. In other words, the pouch also. The tikka tefillin ima tefillin, the pouch of the tefillin with tefillin. Va'afal pi sheyesh besochan mos, even though there is money inside, nevertheless, it is not problematic to save on Shabbos. Uleicha matzilin osan, and where are you allowed to save them to? L'mavu yishenu mefolush, only to a courtyard that is not open. Bemesera Omer Aflam of Foolish. Bemesera says even if the street is open, if it has literally a Mavui Shem of Foolish is a Mavui that's closed on three sides, Mavui Mefoolish means that's only closed on two sides. At the end of today's daf, we will hear and learn what is the machlokis between Bemesera and the Tanakama. Right now, we will leave open the Nekudas HaMachlokis, because the simple reading of our Mishnah is quite different than the Maskanas HaGemara, so we'll just put it out there that it's a little bit unclear. Suffice to say that we've been assuming up until now that we've not been talking about saving these objects into a Rishus HaRab Doraisa when a person would do Hotzah. We will see even Ben Mesera, who seems to say Mavli Mefulish, will also agree that it's not Nisr Hotzah Doraisa. The Gemara continues three lines in Tan Rabbanan. Arba Asar Shechalios B'Shabbos. We're talking about Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. This is a Tosefta in Pesachim in Perek Dalet. Mashitin Es HaPesach, you could skin the carbon Pesach Ad HaChazda all the way to the breast. Divrei B'Shmol B'Nosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. That's Rabbi Shmol B'Nosha ben Brocha's opinion. The Chacham Momri Mashitin Es Kolo. And the Chachamim say that you could do Hefshet entirely. The significance of the breast according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rashi explains the end of Dibar Maschil Ad HaChazeh that it's necessary to skin the Karban Pesach to be able to get out the Chalavim that are supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach. However, everything else would be just for the desire of the individual, and that would not be Docheh Shabbos. And the Chachamim disagree and say you could do everything. And the Gemara immediately asks that we understand the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, but we don't understand the opinion of the Rabbanan. Asks the Gemara, Bishlam the Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rabbi Yochanan Broka does Avid Leit Tzarech Gevoah. I understand that you're allowed to skin, there's no problem doing it on Shabbos because you're doing it for the Mizbeach. El Rabbanan my time, what's the reason according to the Rabbanan that you'd be allowed to do it? Amar Rabba Bar Barchan, Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says in Mishle, Kol Paul Hashem Lemaneu, V'gam Rasha Liyom Ra'a. Everything Hashem did, the Pasuk in Mishle says, was for his kavod. And so too as well, if this is for his kavod, skinning the animal will be acceptable. Asks the Gemara V'hocha Mai Lemaneu, how is it for the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rav Yosef Omar, Shelo Yisriach. By skinning it, it will cause the animal to not spoil as quickly. Rav Omar, Shelo Yukach Shemaim Mutalim Kinevela. That the Kachim of Shemaim should not sit like a carcass. And if it's not skinned, then it looks like it's sinning like a carcass. Maybinai, what's the difference between these two pshatim? Ikomenayu de Monach Aptura de Dahava. If it's sitting in a golden utensil, so then in such a case, it's not sitting in a bizayon like an avela, so then in such a case, a rava would say it's acceptable. However, Rav Yosef says, Shelo Yasriach, Lo Yasriach applies in a golden utensil as well. Or else, Inami, says the Gemara, Yuma da Astona. A day that has a strong wind, in such a case, then the meat will not spoil. The astana means a day with a strong wind. The meat won't spoil. On the other end, they'll be sitting like a carcass. Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha Rabbi Yochanan broke a high pole, Ashil Maneu, Mayavidle. What is Rabbi Shmuel going to do with that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Shalo Yotzi Yasei Murim, Kodim, Hafshatas Ha'ar. It's coming to teach us that you shouldn't take out the intestines without skinning the animal. My time, what's the reason? I'm Rahuna Bred Nerunasan, Mishum Neiman. If you're not going to do the skinning appropriately beforehand, there'll be pieces of wool on the intestines. And that would not be appropriate for the Hakrovas Hoemur. Amar of Chizabar Ukva, 6 lines from the bottom. Maya Hadrile Chavre L'Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. It is quoted in the name of the Sefer Shabbos Shelmi that the Gemara is asking now that Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka just got through saying that he also could explain the Pasuk of Paul Hashem Lamaneyu. So then the question is, what are the Chachamim going to say back to him? Hachi Karmelei, this is what they're going to say. Im Sefer, if the halacha is, as we learned in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to save. And this is why our Gemara brought up the above discussion, because we bring a raya from the halacha of Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, from our Mishnah Matzilin Tikka Sefer, that the halacha is if you're allowed to save the pouch of a Sefer with the Sefer. Lo nafshi, that's a Pesach Miora, will you not be allowed to skin the Karban Pesach from its skin? Certainly, one should be allowed to do that. Rashi adds that the Mishnah had told us that even if there's money inside, because of the Kvod HaSefer, you're allowed to do it. Certainly, L'Tzarech Gavoa, you should be allowed to do it. Answers the Gemara, me dummy, it's not comparable. Hasam Tiltol, over there we're being Matir Tiltol, being Metaltol, something that's Mukta. Hacha Milacha. Here we're talking about even more, we're talking about malacha. And since it's something greater, so then the Chacham will say, you cannot learn out one from the other.
The Gemara continues, Amar Ravashi B'tarti Pligi. Their machlokis over here revolves around two issues. Pligi B'tiltel, they're arguing whether you're allowed to be metaltel the R, Pligi B'malacha, and they're arguing whether you're allowed to do Melacha by taking off the R, the Hefshet, V'hachi Karmelei. And this is the argument the Chachamim gave Rabbi Shmuel in regards to Tiltel. Imatzilin tika sefer, imat sefer, if you're allowed to take out the pouch with the sefer, where, as Rashi explains in Divrei Matzil, that the sefer you're allowed to be metaltel mechama litzel, and the tik comes along with it. So the basar over here, Rashi explains, should be like the sefer, and lo netaltel or agav basar, and you should be allowed to be metaltel the skin along with the meat. Asks the Gemara, mi dami, is that comparable? Hasam over there, nasa basas ladavar hamoter. There, when it comes to the tik that sefer became for ladavar hamoter, for the sefer itself. Hacha, over here, the R became a basis in the opposite direction. Hacha, hai R, nas the basis of davar shekula asar betiltul, Rashi explained. It became a base of something that's entirely asar betiltul, sha basar asar letaltul, because it's prohibited to be metaltil, the basar, because the basar is not edible, Rashi explains, until that night. Question mark. Ella hachi kamerle. No, those who said that you're allowed to be metaltil, we're arguing the following. Imatzin tikshel sefer, imat sefer. You're allowed to save the pouch of the sefer, the binding of the sefer with the sefer. Even though it has money inside it, lo netaltel or agabasar, you won't be allowed to be metaltel the meat and along with it the hide. Asks the Gemara, no, me dummy, they're not comparable. 5 lines on the top of Kuf Yudzayin Amud Aleph. Awesome. Nasa basis ladavar asa ladavar mutter. There, when it comes to the meat and the hide, the sefer, there we're talking about a case in which the sefer is a basis both. The tik of the sefer is a basis for both the sefer itself add, that's a davar mutar, as well as for the money which is davar asar. Hacha kula nafsis basis for davar asar. Over here, the hide is a basis for the meat, which is entirely a davar asar. So we still don't understand the equation of how you could learn from Matzilin Tikkun Masefer to the halachos of being metaltel the carbon pesach on erev pesach shechalios b'shabbos. Elahachi kamri le. This is what he just said. If you're allowed, Rashi explains, to put a Sefer Torah inside a tik, the tik had in it only money, and you brought that tik over to the Sefer Torah in order to be able to save the Sefer Torah in its appropriate way, you wouldn't be able to bring the hide with the meat along with it. Here you did something worse. Here, in our new explanation of the case of our Mishnah, you moved along the tik of the Sefer Torah that had nothing inside of it except for money, which means that it was a basis for davar asar on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, v'hi gufa minalan. How do you know that that was the case? And how do we know this case itself, that you would be allowed to throw off the money from on top, you would be allowed to take the tick with the money inside? Where is the assumption that such a case will be mutter, that we'd be able to learn the halacha to Karban Pesach as well? Ilema, if you're going to infer it from the following, the Midehecha de Ispe, in a case of where there is the Sefer Torah and the money, we learned Beferish in our Mishnah, you don't have to throw away the money. So then, Asuye Nami Meisina, we see from here that you're allowed to be the metaltel of the money directly. Says the Gemara, meeting second parable. Over there, before the fire is going to affect the Sefer Torah. So then we say, go and take it, the tick out with the money and the Sefer Torah. Hacha, adahacha v'hachi, l'shadinan. Over here, if you anyhow have to move the bag, in other words, the case in which you only have the bag and the money, you have to move the bag anyhow to the Sefer Torah. So first, throw off the money, and then bring it to the Sefer Torah. Ella says the Gemara will go back to the original explanation. We're going to explain like we had originally learned, and that is, he explains that the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekah, and the Chachamim is only in regards to hafshata. It's not in regards to tiltul. Take a look at Rashi, and then we will see how we are returning to the original machlokes. And we are bringing a raya from the tikka sefer to masnisen. That in our mission we say to Matzilim Mos Agav Sefer Tzarche Hedyot, you're allowed to take care of the tzarchim of the Hedyot Agav Tzarche Gavoa. So even though you're going to end up taking out the money, which is clearly not Tzarech Gavoa, nevertheless you're allowed to do it because of the Agav, it's coming along. Hovaleko Shos Mishtinu, since you don't have time to throw it away. Vachinami Agav Tzarche Gavoa, because the basar needs to be flayed in order to protect it, as we saw in one opinion in the Gemara earlier, to prevent it from spoiling, the call, Paul Hashem L'maneu, so then in such a case, Yavshit, you'll be allowed to be Mavshit, even though at the end of the day, it's also helping the person that he's going to have flayed meat. Back into the Gemara, Utko Kashlucha, but if you'll ask. But if you're going to ask that there's a difference between the two, Hacha Tilta V'Hacha Malacha, how could you learn from the Halacha of Tiltul that says that you say that the money is allowed to go along agav, and here we say that the hide is allowed to go along agav. Here there's another issue, and that is the malacha of hefshet, that you're doing the act of the flaying, which is an Isur D'oraisa. And says the Gemara, kigon de lo kaboy le'la'or, you don't need the hide. Asks the Gemara, v'abayi v'rova d'armin tarvayi modur b'shim sik reisha v'lo yamos. Rabbi Shimon says that if it's definite that you're going to be usher, even if it's not your intention is only to get to the Emurim, But at the end of the day, if it's definite, so then in such a case, we don't have the heter of Davar Sheni Miskaven. It's a psik resha, it's inevitable. Just like cutting off the head of the chicken. Even if you say you're cutting it off for another reason, that you want to make a toy for the child, nevertheless, if it's inevitable that the animal is going to die, it's an issa d'oraisa. Question mark, answers the Gemara. D'shakalei bibarzi. Rashi explains that he cuts it in a way that the skin is not going to last. It's not going to come out as well-cut skin. And since it will not be well-flayed, he will not get a hide out of it. And once he does get of it, so then in such a case, we're not dealing with the Isser D'oraisa of Hefshek. The Gemara now begins to analyze the next part of the Mishnah that said that you could save these Tik Shel Tefillin and Tik Shel Sefer into a mavui that is closed. And Ben Becerra said even to an open mavui. The Gemara analyzes, what do we mean a mavui that's open versus a mavui that's closed? Hechi dami mefulish. Hechi dami sheinu mefulish. What is our definition of closed and open? Gemara answers and describes. Amar Chizda, what are the cases over here of our Mishnah? Shalosh mechitzos ishnei lechayoyin. If there are three and there are two lechis. Now, Mirtz Hashem, Maseches Erevin, we're going to spend a lot of time discussing a lechi. A lechi is a vertical post. So there are two posts on the side that is open to remind us that one is not allowed to carry in a Rishus HaRabim. Zeu mavui she'enu mefulish. That is considered a mavui that is not open because it's closed on three sides. The significance of a lechi, how it reminds us and what it does, that we're going to spend a lot of time, Be'ezer Hashem, in Maseches Erevin discussing. Gimel v'chisis v'lechi echad, what happens if it's also closed, but as a lechi only on one side, it's closed on three sides, and there's this vertical board, a thin board that stands up, that's higher than 10 tfachim. Zeu mavui ha'mefulish. This is an open mavui. In other words, once you have two lechis, then it's considered as if the fourth is closed. If you have one, it's still considered open. V'tarvayu aliba de Rebbe Eliezer. And this works within the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer and Erevin on Yud Aleph HaMebeis. This is not, as we learned there in the Mishnah, hechsher mavui. How do you make a mavui kosher? Be'shamay omrim lechi v'korah. Beis Shammai says that you need this vertical beam, and you also need a horizontal beam as well. We will see in Maseches Erevin that min haTorah, once an area is closed on three sides, you're allowed to carry inside. However, the Rabbanan, as we alluded to before, instituted that, according to Beis Shammai, a lechi and a korah, the vertical and the horizontal, have to be built to remind you that this is not a Rishus HaRabim, and Beis Hillel says, O lechi, O koret, that one has to have one or the other. Beis Hashem, we will explain a lot more what we mean in Erevin, that this area is different than a Rishus HaRabim, and it's there as some type of reminder. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Rebbe Eliezer disagreed with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel there in Erevin Yud Aleph and Beis. Shnei lechayayim, he says you need two posts, vertical posts on either side. Amalei Rabba said, Rava challenges, Amalei Rava, Gimel mechitzas v'lechi echad mefulish kari saleh. You're going to call, if you have three mechitzas and one lechi, you're going to call that mefulish? Va'od l'rabbanan natzalisocha ochlinu mashkin. And also, according to the Rabbanan, who say that we're talking about it as three mechitzas, why are you just saving the tik shel tefillin? You could even save any type of food. What's going to be the problem? And we're going to see later on in Kuf Chaf Amid Aleph that food could only be saved into a chatzer. This is talking about when it comes to a mavui, mefulish, so then you should be able to save even food inside. It's a full-fledged Rishus Hayachid. El Amar Rabba, therefore Rabba said the pshat is a different pshat. Shtei mechitzos u'shnei lechayoyin zeu mavui sheinu mefulish. We're talking about where there's only two mechitzos and two lechayoyin. That is a mavui sheinu mefulish. V'tarvayu aliba de Rebbe Yehuda. And this discussion is going according to Rebbe Yehuda. And we're talking about a Rishus that is not as well bounded off, is not as well enclosed as the Rishuyos before. Because Rebbe Yehuda
has a different definition. The Sanya, as we learned in the Braisa, quoted in Erev in Vav Amud Aleph, yes, it all came on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is even more lenient than Anon. He holds, Mishesh Loshnei Batim B'Shtei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, if you have two houses on two sides of Rishus HaRabim. Oysa Lechi Mikan, Ve'Lechi Mikan. You could put a Lechi on one side, a Lechi on the other side, and you'll be able to carry. It's considered close. Now, the Rabbanim, we're going to see in Erevin, disagree, because they hold it's still considered Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa until you close it on three sides. Okor Mikan, Ve'Kor Mikan, you could put a beam, a horizontal beam going across, and even though it's enclosed only on two sides, v'nosei be'emtza, and you're allowed to carry in that area. Amrulo, emarim rishus harabim bekach, l'chacham disagree, and they say, you cannot simply make an erev in the rishus harabim like this. In other words, it's a rishus harabim, and simply putting up a korah and a lechi is going to be enough, as long as it's not closed in three sides. So says Rabba, that's the case that we're talking about. We're talking about a case which is not entirely closed, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be allowed to save the tikshel tefillin. Abaye responds to Abaye with, to Rabba with a simple retort. Amale Abaye lididach, nami l'rabba natzul socha ochlenu mashkin. If you're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that's considered Rishus Hayachid, who rejects the Rabbanon, so then you should still be able to save the food inside. In other words, Abaye is asking Mamanavshach, if you're going to say that you're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's considered a full-fledged Rishus, you're right. It's a Yehuda is a Chiddush that says if it's only enclosed on two sides, it's possible for it to still be Rishus Hayachid. But once you're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, then don't only save in our Mishnah Tikkat Sefer, you should save as well food. And the Mishnah Kuf Chaf Amin Al says that you could only save food into a Chatzer. And if it's not considered a Rishus Hayachid, it's considered a Rishus HaRabim, then you shouldn't be able to save the Tikshel Tefillin. Elama Ravashi on Tamabeis. Rather, Ravashi gives a different shot. Shalosh Mechitzas Velechi Echad Zal Mavli Shein Mefulish. When we talk about a lot of Mavli Shein Mefulish that we learn in our Mishnah, that according to the Tanakama, you're allowed to save the Tik inside, that's on a three Mechitzas and without a Lechi. What is Mefulish, Gimel Mechitzas Velo Lechi. If you have three Mechitzas without Lechi, Zehu Mavli Mefulish. That's considered Mavli Mefulish. Rafilu Rabbi Lazar, Domer Bina Lechayayim. And even according to Rabbi Lazar, Eliezer says you need Lechayayim. Hani Min Lochel Mashkin. Ben Beser is going to say that that's only for Ochel Mashkin. You need Lechayayim. Avol Sefer Torah Bechad Lechi Sagi. For a Sefer Torah, one Lechi is going to be enough. And according to the Rabbanan, that will be enough to save the Sefer Torah. According to Ben Becerra, actually, you won't even need that lechi. Just having three sides is going to be enough. In both cases, it's not going to be a shailah of a derabbanan and a shailah of deraisa. Excuse me. It'll be only a question of a derabbanan. And for Rav Ashi, one lechi is going to be enough. And the chiddush is that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that normally requires two, one will be acceptable. While according to Ben Becerra, you don't need a lechi at all, because the Rabbanan were matir in the case of saving a Sefer Torah. The Mishnah continues with another set of halachos in regards to saving food from a fire on Shabbos. Matilu mazon gimel su'udos haroi la'adam la'adam. You're allowed to save three meals that is appropriate for a person for a person. Haroi la'behema la'behema, and three meals for an animal. Ketzat. Nafla Dleika Belele Shabbos, if the fire started out Friday night before the Su'udah Rishona on Friday night. Matzil Mazel Gimel Su'udos, you could save three meals. B'Shachris, if it happened the morning before the day meals, the other two day meals, Matzil Mazel Nishtei Su'udos, you save two meals. B'Mincha, on Mincha Mazel Su'udachas, you should save one meal. Rabbi Yossi Omer, La'ola Matzil Mazel Shelesh Su'udos, Rabbi Yossi says you could always save for three meals, even if it's the end of Shabbos. Rashi explains that the position of Rabbi Yossi is the following. There are no Isurim involved over here. We're saving into a Chatzer HaMe'ureves, and technically you're always allowed to save for three meals. That's considered not a Tircha Yisera. So that Chazal were Matir, and therefore you could save for three meals. Rashi points out, as our Gemara is going to develop, really you should be able to save more than three meals. However, Chazal made a gzeira that we're going to see that prohibits saving more than three meals. Ask the Gemara, Michti Be'atera Katarach. He's
going through a tircha, beheter, nitzel tvei, he should be able to save more. Why don't we allow him to save more meals? So what's the reason that we capped it at three meals?
Amar Rava, Rava answered,
if we're going to tell a person, save as much as you could get, he's going to get so, as we say in Yiddish, farklemt. He's going to get so worried, and he's going to be focused on saving everything, he'll come to put out the fire. This is what we learned in a Brayta in Ishbalei, we're going to have later on Kuf Chaf Amid Aleph, as well as we had earlier, Amen Beis Amid Aleph, that if there is a barrel that broke on the top of a roof, maybe Kliu Minech Tachteha, you're allowed to put a utensil underneath to catch the contents of the barrel that broke. Well, the Vachelo Yavi Kliacher V'Yiklod Kliacher V'Yitzarit. It's putting something underneath to protect the gag, that's going to be acceptable. However, Tosus in Dibur Maschil Kliacher explains that if he's going to be doing either Yiklot, which Rashi explains is he's catching it from the air as it falls, or Tziruf is it looks like he's drawing it, so then in such a case, in both of those instances, there it appears clear, says Tosus, that he's trying to save the food, and that is going to be Osir. Now, according to Rava, that had said above, that the reason why there's a requirement to save only three meals, and only three meals and not more, is because we're afraid he's going to come to put it out, analyzes the Gemara. Hasam, my gzera ika. What type of gzera do you have? So it must be that Rava is wrong, that there's only a certain amount of food a person is allowed to save, whether there's a fire, whether there's not, to the point that you can't be kolei to mitzaref. Says the Gemara, no. Hachinami, hear it too. In the case of Nishpar Lechavis Barosh Gagla, there is a gzera. Gzera Shamiyava Kli Derchushus Harabim. We're afraid a person is going to carry a Kli Derchushus Harabim, and therefore he cannot be Kolate or Mitzarev, as Tosos brings out in the distinction between the two. Gemara continues, Gufa, let us analyze this case. Nishpar Lechavis Barosh Gagla. Maybe Kli Umeniach Tachteo Vachelo Yavi Kli Achev Yiklot Kli Achev Yitzarev. That we already learned. Now we learn something new. Nizdami lo arachim. If there are, we just learned above that you're not allowed to put any utensils down to save the food except to protect the roof. If there are guests that come, maybe a kliacher v'kolet, kliacher mitzarif. Then you're allowed to save more food for the guests. Presumably, if you put down one pot, that's going to be enough. You won't need to be kolet or mitzarif, but there are guests. You need more, then you'll need to be mitzarif. And cold. However, says the Gemara, "V'lo yiklot v'acha kach yasmin." You can't first save it through the process of klita and then invite guests. El yasmin v'acha kach yiklot. First, you have to invite and then be called. V'ein marimim b'kach. And you're not allowed to do a trick about this. And that is that to simply invite guests. Rashi explains how Rama is a trick to do this trick to simply invite guests because you want to save the food. Mishum Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Amar marimim. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said you can do this trick. The Gemara analyzes that this trick might be dependent on the following. Lema b'plugs of the Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua kamifli. Let us suggest that this is dependent on the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. We learned in a brisa. Oisav es benoit. We know there's a prohibition for a person to slaughter a mother and its child on the same day. And so now we talk about the following case. Shenafu labar. There were two of them that fell into a pit. Rabbi Lezor Mamalas Arishom Nasa Shoftav Asheni Osalo Parnasa Mimikomo Bishvil Shelo Yomus. Now we're talking about Yom Tov. Technically, since you can't slaughter them on the same day, there should be no heter to be able to take both of them out. You should only be able to take one of them out. Because once you took one out, the other can't be slaughtered. Says Rabbi Lezor, I've got an idea. And that is take the first out with the condition to shecht it, and the second, you won't put out, but rather the only thing you'll be able to do is feed the animal in its place, but you can't take it out. Rabbi Shua Omer Malinus Arishom Nasa Shochto Ve'ena Shochto Umaarim Umalas Hasheni. Rabbi Yeshua says, when you take out the first, you can say you intend to shecht it.
and then change your mind, and then do a trick and take out the second to shecht, and then you could shecht either of them. Rata zeh shochet, rata zeh shochet. You could choose either one. So the Gemara suggests that we see that according to Rabbi Yeshua, you have a concept of harama, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't allow harama. That seems to be the same type of issue of whether you're allowed to do harama to invite guests just to simply save it. Are you allowed to use a loophole, if you will, or are you not? Now, there is a lot of literature about what is behind this idea of using the loophole, what are behind these two opinions, which is not the scope of our Bikiyus Daf Yomi, but Be'ezer Hashem, in another instance, we will discuss the rationales of these opinions. Continues the Gemara, we had suggested that this is the Machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar. We might, Dilma Ad Kan Lo Kama Rabbi Elazar Hasam, De'efsher B'Parnasa. Over there, it's Rabbi Eliezer says, don't do Arama, because the animal's not going to die. You'll feed him in the pit. But here you're going to lose the food. So then he would allow harama. Rabbi Yeshua permits a harama there. All you have is tzar balechayim. But here there is no tzar balechayim. So then in such a case, we would not allow it. The Gemara continues to discuss halachos of asala. Tan rabban, hitzil pas nikia, if you save clean bread, in other words, bread that is well sifted, a matzil pas hadra. You can't save pas that is not as clean. Previously, we've discussed that it could be that in those days, the whole wheat bread had a lower status. Today, it has a higher status. And maybe in our halacha from the daily daf a while ago, we discussed that maybe the halachos would change in Perek Amar Rabbi Akiva. We had discussed that whole wheat bread is not even considered the shear of bread. And halacha from the daily daf we discussed with Yitzhak Silberstein said that the halacha might change. But clearly, in the time of Chazal, pas nakiyah was greater than pas hadra. And of course, once you save three meals of pas nakiyah, you can't save pas hadra. But the pas hadra, matzil pas nakiyah. Maybe according to Yitzhak Silberstein, the halacha would change even for that as well. Because you haven't had good bread if you only like whole wheat bread today. But in the time of Chazal, you were still able to save white bread because that was considered the better bread. Umatzilin mi Yom HaKippurim l'Shabbos, and you're allowed to save on Yom HaKippurim for Shabbos. Avalo mi Shabbos l'Yom HaKippurim, but you can't save from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. Ve'ein tzarech lomer m'Shabbos l'Yom Tov v'lo m'Shabbos l'Shabbos haba, and you can't save from one Shabbos to the next. Be'ezer Hashem, we will conclude our daily daf at this point, at the last narrow line of Kuf Yud Zayin on the base, and we will go shortly, Be'ezer Hashem, after I go to one of the yeshivas to say Shir Rambam, I will try to come back to record halacha from the daily daf. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the Gemara on the Kuf Yud Zayin on the base.
Be'ezer Hashem Yisparech, the halacha topic from Kuf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, from our daf, emerges in the discussion of basis l'davar ha'asur, and we will discuss the halachos of one's Shabbos table on Shabbos with candles. How does one ensure that the table does not become a basis l'davar ha'asur? Our Gemara taught us that if, and our Gemara is not the only base, and it is codified in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Tes Siv Dalid, that if one has a mukza object sitting on a table, and the person put it on the table with the intention to leave it there, he wants it there on Shabbos, then you are stuck, in the sense that that table is considered a basis ledavar ha'asur, and even if for whatever reason a Gentile comes and takes it away, nevertheless, that table is now muktzeh and one cannot move it on Shabbos. We emphasize that you put it intentionally. If a person forgot, it is spelled out in the above-mentioned se'if, then in such a case, he could shake it off. However, if he put it there intentionally, then it's going to be, the table is also going to become muktzeh. Therefore, when it comes to a candelabra that is placed on the table before Shabbos, a person intentionally puts it there bidas, and that will make the table muktzah. It should be noted that in many instances, you won't have a problem of buses. Let's say a person just put down a pen on his nightstand. He didn't intend to put that. He normally doesn't leave his pen on his nightstand. He puts it on a desk or in his briefcase. But if he just shachach, he forgot it there, it could be that the nightstand in such a case does not become muktzah because it was simply shachach. However, back to the Shabbos table, there it would be considered a buses. So what is a Jew to do? If he wants to move the table further on Shabbos, then how is he going to be able to do it every time he's got Shabbos candles put on there? So the Mishnah Brura in Simen Reish Ayin Zayin Sif Katan Yud Ches, as well as the Chayei Adam in Klal Samech Zayin Sif Dalid, both mention the old beautiful custom of putting down challahs on Shabbos on the table, and thereby the table becomes a basis ledavar ha'aser uledavar ha'mutter, which we saw in our Gemara, that if there are other things that are on the table as well, that are on the basis as well, so then in such a case, the base is not going to be muktzah. As our Gemara said, that you're allowed to carry a bag of tefillin with money inside, because it's a basis l'davar asa l'davar mutter, even better than tefillin, which is a complicated sugya. But the Gemara also says a bag with a book in money inside, because the basis l'davar asa l'davar mutter. This is well known. However, there are two points that should be raised. One of them extremely important l'halacha l'maisa. Number one is we should be aware that the Sefer Ktzos HaShulchan in Simin Kuf Yud Beis, in the Badei HaShulchan Sif Katan Chaf, raises the following issue. He claims that Basis L'davar Asa L'davar Mutter is only if a person intends for the Davar Mutter to stay there all of Shabbos. However, if his intention is that it should not stay there for all of Shabbos, then it doesn't become a full-fledged Basis L'davar Mutter. And Chalas is actually a problematic example, because Chalas, most time, the people intend to eat the challahs. Hence, it could very well be the challahs, even though it's an old custom, as the Mishnah Brura says this, because the challahs are not going to be there for the duration of Shabbos. I saw in the Masifta Gemara, quoting from the Sefer Divrei Shalom, the Shalos Tshuvos Divrei Shalom, that suggested maybe it would be considered a basis l'davar mutter, because the candles are also not going to last the entire Shabbos. That's an interesting point that we throw out there, but nevertheless, one should be aware, Rabbi Avram Chaim Noah, the great posek, raises this problem with the challahs. Of course, the solution would be, if he doesn't intend to eat all of the challahs, he only intends to eat one of them, then clearly that would be fine, although we learn in Hilchos Betzias HaPas, on Shabbos L'chatchila, according to the Gra, one should cut both challahs as well, and it seems it could very well be he would eat both of them as well. So that's point number one. The challahs might be problematic in this regard. Question number two that needs to be raised is the next question, and that is, at the end of the day, what about the fact that the candelabra is worth much more than the challahs? And we have from our Gemara, as well as other Mekoros, that the idea of basis l'davar asa l'davar mutter is only if they're equal in value. If the davar mutter is equal or worth more in value. As the Mishnah Brura again in Simen Reish Ayin Zayin Sif Yud Ches brings down. So the question becomes, how could one say that this is of equal value, the challahs are worth clearly more? So the answer is found in the Mishnah Brura over there as well. The Mishnah Brura says, it's poshut that the challahs will work more. Dahainu min shal heves haner ha-dolekes. That it's more chashuv than the candle itself. In other words, the issue over here is that what's muktzah is the candle itself. The candle is what is muktzah. And since it's the candle which is muktzah, then You only need something that's worth the value of the candle itself. The Mishnah Berurah adds that the candelabra is just there to serve the shalheves, but is not the primary thing, even though it's the beautiful thing, it's the expensive thing. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah is mechadesh that what the table is serving is the candle and not the candelabra. It's a base for the candle and not for the candelabra. And for that reason, challahs would be acceptable. The Chayei Adam gives another answer to this question, and the Chayei Adam says, well, for the person during Seuda Shabbos, in that same place, in Klal Samach Zayin Siv Dalid, the Chayei Adam suggests for this meal, the person wants the bread more. The Prima Gadim also seems to say this idea in Simen Reish Ayin Zayin Eishal Avram Siv Katan Ches, that for the meal itself, he'd prefer to have the bread over the candles. And for that reason, it's considered more chashuv. However, from Rav Nevensal, I heard a different Hagdara. He thought that, and I think this is brought down in other poskim as well, that whatever a person would want to save, if chas v'chalila there would be a fire, that would be the object that is considered more chashuv. So you wouldn't just simply look at what he wants for that meal. If that's so, then we need the other reason of the Mishnah Berurah to say that the reason why the lechem is more chashuv is we only look at the shalheves, we only look at the candle and the flame itself, and for that reason, the bread is more chashuv in this regard, that a person would rather have the bread than a cheap 3-cent candle. This Be'ezer Hashem gives us a little bit of guidelines of how to deal with the problem that a Shabbos table can become a basis l'davar aser and can't be moved. And one should be careful, of course, keep in mind that if one is going to put down a davar hamutar as well, like challahs, one should be careful to do it during Bein HaShmashos. If one does not do it Bein HaShmashos, then of course the table, and if it only has candles on it, it will become a basis l'davar ha'asar only. Finally, it should be noted that when we were learning this in the Kol and the Tivarye, we had a long discussion. The Mishnah Berurah is not worried about this, but what about the fact that the candelabra itself is considered muktzah to the point, according to Rav Nevensal, it's considered muktzah machmas chisaren kis. Why doesn't the table become a basis for this muktzah machmas chisaren kis outside of the shalheves? It is for this reason that some people put down valuable items on the table that are not muktzah, that's a davar amutter, to counter that. However, clearly we see the Mishnah Berurah was not machmer for that, and therefore one does not have to counter the value of the candelabra according to the Mishnah Berurah and according to most poskim, although it's an open question why, according to those who hold that the candelabra is considered muktzah machmas chisaren kis, which Rav Nevensal is ma'arich about this issue in the beginning of Simin Shin Ches, not about candelabras, but similar cases, and the Aruch HaShulchan says that the candelabra also becomes at least a muktzah machmas chisaren kis. If you take a look at our shurim in the Grus Kolo, we also spoke about whether it would even be considered muktzah machmas atzma, or if Soloveitchik seemed to go that far. Either way, there are some who would be machmer to put an equal value to the candelabra, but the Mishnah Berurah is makel in this regard. Something that's greater value than the candle itself is enough to make the table a basis, a davar aser, a davar mutter, and be able to move it on Shabbos. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the halacha topic from Daf Kuf Yud Zayin.